Whose child is that? Not Max? How pleasant it is to stand once again on this pulpit. I confess I've missed it. I'm adjusting to retirement and enjoying the newfound freedom, anticipating so much of what lies ahead for me and for my family. But I've missed all of you. I miss having my grandson, whose intellect and athleticism continues to astound his elders, run up to me on the bima. I miss Deb terribly. I miss the intellectual challenge of preparing a Devar Torah in a class and interacting with the children. At the same time, I'm thankful that so much remains the same here. You've all remained in your previously assigned seats, except for the Druckmans, but they transitioned earlier on. But I am terribly disturbed by some of the changes that have been implemented since I left. The temperature in the sanctuary is at least 2 degrees higher. My old office is 9 degrees warmer, and it's decorated with brand new, beautiful throw pillows that I never had. Gil, thank you for inviting me to participate in this state occasion. You've honored me deeply. And as I prepare to officially install you as my successor, I think of the story of the rabbi who bought a new car. The only Jewish policeman on the force who belonged to the shul was directing traffic as he did every day. He winced when he saw the rabbi driving. One time he stopped him for a traffic violation. The rabbi smiled at him and said kiddingly, "Don't fine me too much, Henry. I'm just a poor preacher." And the officer answered with a straight face, "I know, I've heard you." But good or bad, over the years, I have learned to be brief in my remarks based on the popular Jewish saying, "Lo hamidrash haikar ela hamaaseh." Learning and theory are one thing. Implementing them is more important. Or to put it in more familiar terms, action speaks louder than words. Since July, Rabbi Steinloff has immersed himself in the activities of Kol Shalom. In fact, to his credit, he started the process well before his tenure began. You've already seen him, and I've seen him to be already articulate, bright, thoughtful, and empathetic. His changes and fresh ideas, and a lot more clapping, are generating a new activist spirit in the community, and he possesses a grand vision for the future of the synagogue, in fact, for the future of the American Suburban Synagogue. I'm immensely pleased that he is my successor, and our relationship has been already one of mutual respect and regard. I am very careful not to step on his toes, and he has great appreciation for the relationships and accomplishments that I've built with you over these past 17 years, and loves already this unique community we've established. The transition has been smooth and easy, which, as we both can attest to, is a rarity in rabbinic succession. In fact, his activities and plans and dreams are far more eloquent than this formal symbolic ritual of installation. As the rabbi emeritus, the advantage I possess is that from the mountaintop I can see the full landscape of the congregation, not unlike that of Moses, Lahavdil, as he stood on Mount Nebo and surveyed the promised land. The major difference is that I did not merely survey it. I've lived it with you for 17 years. This morning I install Rabbi Gil Steinloff as my successor. And if I'm like Moses on the heights, and he is surely Joshua, standing beside me as heir and successor. I represent the past, he represents the future. But we also don't forget that each link in the chain of tradition has its place. Each has its mission, its challenges, and its contributions. Dor dor v'dor shav, dor dor uman higav. Each generation has its teachers, each generation has its leaders. By celebrating transition this morning, we recognize the changing of the guard, and by this process, we are elevated. From my own experience, I can tell you that being a rabbi brought me great contentment and fulfillment. It's a rewarding calling and an appealing profession. Despite its challenges, it is a job for a nice Jewish boy or girl. And as a 40-year veteran, I've learned a great deal about this calling. In particular, I want to share three lessons that stand out. First of all, A rabbi must possess self-assurance and self-confidence in serving an uncertain and sometimes fickle public. But in order to buffer himself or herself and not succumb to the banality of a constant routine, he must have certain anchors and outlets. He must find time for personal study and enrichment. His horizons must be wide. He cannot be satisfied with just having absorbed Jewish sources. He must find time to read general literature, nonfiction, fiction, periodicals as well. He must always remember that the vast majority of his constituency not only has college education and graduate degrees, but postgraduate degrees, and are experts in specialized professions. I've learned that lesson many times. He mustn't infantilize them. His personal enrichment serves as an antidote to becoming overwhelmed by the unceasing demands and responsibilities with which his congregation invariably presents him. He must make and have his own time for study, for enrichment, and for travel. Otherwise, he will suffer burnout. Secondly, he must zealously guard his private life from intrusion. His time with his family and his friends should be sacred and inviolate. His home is his castle. His family has priority. I have never admired those of my rabbinic colleagues who martyred themselves for their congregations or who tell their congregants how selfless and self-sacrificing they've been. Do they expect a burst of applause? If one batters away or barters away his private life, he becomes a total servant. That's not healthy because it inevitably leads to cynicism, a syndrome whose corrosive acids undermine the quality of his family life. And this in turn affects his attitude in the rabbinate toward people. And lastly, a rabbi must learn to share his burdens, her burdens, with the elders. For him or her, channels to his people constitute a sounding board to test out his thinking, his plans, his proposed projects. He cannot stand and must not operate in a vacuum, no matter how competent or capable he is. To share the burdens of leadership with others will make them aware of his manifold duties and responsibilities and elicit their support. Like the Baal Shem Tov, he must say, "The rungs of my ladder are the hearts and souls of all of you. Without you, I can climb very little." It's with all this in mind and with great personal pleasure and pride, I formally install Rabbi Gil Steinlauf as the spiritual leader of our congregation, Kol Shalom. May his tenure enable the synagogue to reach new heights, and may he find the ability and the strength and the foresight, purposefulness and satisfaction and fulfillment that I derived over these past years in our beloved community. And so I call upon Rabbi Gil Steinlauf and proudly install him as a rabbi of Kol Shalom with the full authority of the Jewish Theological Seminary and his colleagues in the Rabbinical Assembly. I know I am speaking for everyone in this wonderful, wonderful congregation when I offer this collective hope and prayer as expressed by the prophet, Torat Emet Haita Befihu. May God grant him the inspiration to teach a Torah of truth. May his lips always express righteousness and dignity. And above all, may he always walk in peace and with integrity. Chazak, chazak, v'nitchazek.